It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Tonight's big shot of the night goes to OG. You welcome, OG. OG Anunoby. This guy right now is putting the team on his back. I was not expecting him to emerge how he has emerged. Talking about emerging, he got up there. Watch out for your heads. If you didn't see it, go look up. Just search OG Anunoby on Twitter. The poster dunk that he had in the game, sticking the landing, coming down the lane, one ham, bang. In his last seven games, I saw this on NBA Central, he dropped 27 points, 28 points, 31 points, 30, 28 points, 35 points, 23. This guy is a guy that everybody talks about his defense. And in a time of need, he's adjusted to really, getting into his offensive bag. So we see you, OG, in the city. We see you. We're watching baseball. But we see you. And like I said, I think Knicks fans are hoping what you're seeing here are things that they can pivot to depending on matchups, depending on who they draw in the playoffs, right? You're seeing a team right now without their guards. You're seeing a team tonight without Karl-Anthony Towns. And in the beginning of the game, Mikal Bridges didn't necessarily have it. OG Anunoby getting it done. Even Mitchell Robinson getting it done. And like I said before, Landry Shamet with 20 off the bench. You are looking at a Knicks team that everybody's telling you they don't have enough pieces, telling you that they can't beat some of the teams in the East. Nobody knows what's going to happen. If they get healthy and they get their guys back, they're going to have the city behind them, and maybe they can go on a run. Obviously, the hope is that they can get out of the second round. I think they're good in the first round, but we shall see. 888-808-1019. Had to take a sip of water as I'm fighting through this last hour. Shout out to everybody watching in the chat. We got about 800 in the chat. I will take questions from the chat. I will take topics from the chat. In the chat, they were laughing about me talking about, playing video games. Mark said, it's hilarious. I've heard him say that about quitting video games at 12 before. It's profound, really. Honestly, if I kept playing video games, I don't know if I make it in life. It takes up a lot of time. I have homies that played a video game. They're grown-ass men. They be on the game. And I'm not knocking it. Look at gaming in this world. Look at, there are kids with way more money than me because they game. Look at these streamers. They're gamers, and they turned it into millions of dollars. But for me, growing up broke, I had an option, right? Christmas was coming. I remember, and this is me dating myself. I remember PlayStation 2 and Xbox coming out, and my mom being like, I had PlayStation. I remember I had N64. I think I might even had a GameCube or something. But my mom basically putting an ultimatum out there, giving me like, listen, you want this or that? You could do this or do that. My clothes were getting expensive, right? I wanted to have Nikes. I wanted to have shell toes. I wanted to have, I didn't really ever get Jordans. I also wanted to have authentic jerseys with the fitted to match. And Mom Dukes was like, listen, bro, like I can get you all the clothes you want or all the games you want. Which one do you want? You want to have the brand new game system with all the games? Or you want to have, you know, multiple pairs of sneakers and a throwback Michael Vick jersey? Back then it wasn't a throwback, it was actual Vick jersey. But I had, you know, I had gear. And my logic at literally 12 years old, a sixth grader, was the clothes leave the house with me. That's how I'll be seen in school. That's how I'll be seen at the mall. That's how I'll be seen when I'm out and about, whatever. The video game don't leave. And my downstairs neighbor, Sonny, he had the game. My next door neighbor, Zeke, Eric, he had the video game. So I could knock on their door and go play the video game with them. And then my older brother, Sean, who was 22 years old, would come back from Queens. He lived in Astoria. He had the game. And when he would come home for the weekends, he would bring the game with him. So I was like, I don't need a video game. I don't need it. I'm good. I need clothes. 888-808-1019. I said I'm going to kick you guys my Juan Soto theory, and then we'll take some Juan Soto calls, some more baseball calls, even an Aaron Rodgers call up there. Aaron Rodgers is the song that does it. And like, we don't have to talk about Aaron Rodgers anymore. He's out of here. He's not our problem anymore. And you know what? I don't have a problem with Juan Soto. I don't need to boo Juan Soto. I probably will. As I'm hearing all this talk about, you know, what, turn your back to Juan Soto, like, that's not realistic. Tonight you heard them chanting F Altuve, F Josh Naylor, F Juan Soto in Yankee Stadium. I wasn't there, but I was reading Yankee Twitter and I was listening to the game. With Juan Soto, it just like occurred to me, maybe the Yankees weren't meant to win the World Series with Juan Soto because he was always leaving. He was always going to the richest owner in the sport. Steve Cohen wasn't going to be outbid by Hal Steinbrenner, and Hal Steinbrenner was not going to keep going up and up. He wasn't going to add a 17th year, and Brian Cashman wasn't going to let that AAV get up to a certain level. Maybe there wasn't supposed to be a 2024 World Series with these Yankees as the winner, because that would be awkward with Juan Soto going across town, right? That would be strange now with Juan Soto being a Met. And coming off a Yankee parade, right? When the Subway Series comes and Yankee fans are supposed to be mad and boo him. What if the Yankees were presenting him with a ring? And like, you know, it'd be different if Juan Soto, imagine Juan Soto actually, and as much as you guys want to talk about how Juan Soto performed much better than Aaron Judge, go please look up their numbers side to side in the postseason. But like, Juan Soto didn't win the Yankees the World Series. It wasn't like he powered them to a World Series win. It was like he homered every game, drove in runs. Everything happens for a reason. The universe never unconnects. Everything is predestined, predetermined. We're just walking through these paths. And that pain that the Yankees felt last year, where you heard that they were sobbing, weeping in the locker room as the season ended, and Juan Soto didn't feel that pain. Juan Soto just put his cap to the back and talked about, I'm available to all 30 teams. And you know, he had his Boris Korp spiel ready to go. Well, Judge obviously was one of those guys. Austin Wells was one of those guys. Volpe was one of those guys. Jazz was one of those guys. Dominguez was there. Ben Rice was there. You know what I'm saying? That pain, those guys put in that pain, and they went through that pain together, and it's motivating them now. It's motivating them now. That was embarrassing, bro. It was embarrassing for me as a fan. I can't live it down. I can't even comment on anything without somebody saying, fifth inning, Judge dropped the pop-up. You think that doesn't make them move differently? It does. I see a Yankee team that's motivated and driven and locked in. And then when you add Cody Bellinger and Paul Goldschmidt, when you add Max Fried and, you know what I'm saying? Like, Will Warren was part of that team. Like, those guys went through an embarrassing, painful end to the season. Way more painful than 82-80. And I think it's driving them. I think you could see, even in these first four games, like, they have a different way about them. They want to erase that pain. And there's only one way to erase it. You can't do it today. You can't do it next month. You can't do it in three, 4 months. It's in October. But maybe Juan Soto wasn't meant to win a World Series with the Yankees because he was going to be a 15-year Met. And maybe these Yankees needed to go through that pain together and go back to the World Series this year and win it. Who knows? 888-808-1019. Let's go to Dan in Garden City.
Hi, Keith. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, funny meeting you in this elevator. I didn't expect to see that, you know? yeah, Juan Soto. I'm a Mets fan at heart, and I'm very happy having Soto on my team. But let me tell you something. I think it's the best thing that could have happened to the Yankees. Because look at what they did with the money. They got more bats, a nicer, cleaner batting lineup is what they have now, even with their youngsters who may not develop as much as you want, but you got hope there right now. And then they spent their money on Fried. And let me tell you something. I don't think anything prepares a team more for October baseball than having three starters, which, you know, that was before Garrett got hurt. But, man, what a threesome that would have been with Fried and Cole and Rodon. And then maybe even, I have a suspicion that, that what's his name? The forgotten pitcher that pitched 2 days ago.
Stroman?
Stroman. He's going to prove himself to be an adequate three
serviceable,
or four.
Good enough if they hit.
Starter. Yeah. Because what's going to happen? You're going to get into the World Series. You're really going to go with a three-man rotation when you get to the World Series.
They're going to add another starting pitcher. It might be the guy we saw the Mets face, Sandy Alcantara.
Yeah. But they don't need him. I think they're good the way they are right now with their pitching staff. And if I was to spend their money, I would buy a third baseman.
Yeah, I think they add another third baseman too.
Yeah, because I don't really believe in Cabrera. He's a nice player, and he may develop someday, but I don't think the Yankees have the patience to wait for him.
I like Waldo. He made a nice defensive play today, but like that's an opportunity for you to put a consistent impact player there. And if you're trying to actually get over the hump and you're trying to actually win the World Series this year, you punch it at the deadline and try and get if it's Nolan Arenado, so be it. Maybe it's somebody else.
Yeah, and let's face it, the road to the World Series is going to be through Los Angeles.
Sure.
And
they're 7-0.
You need the pitchers there. Yep. So that's all I wanted to tell you. And I wanted to say I hope I meet you in the elevator again. What floor do you guys work on?
I'm up here on the 10th floor. Thanks for the call, Dan. 888-808-1019. Yeah, the Dodgers win as we go back to the out-of-town scoreboard. I see somebody in my chat, JS in the chat, says, let's go Dodgers, 7-0. You know, Dodgers got so many fans now all of a sudden. All the games are final. So, yeah, the Dodgers, let's see here. The Dodgers are 7-0, and they beat the Braves 3-1. The Mariners, I told you that game ended. The Mariners end up losing to the Tigers. What other games are still going? The Padres beat the Guardians 7-0. The Giants defeat the Astros. Astros can't score 3-1. And I think that's it. I think I hit you with the other scores. And you could look up the scores. I got a lot of calls. I got to get through these calls. 888-808-1019.
You also had a crazy T-Wolves-Nuggets game that just finally finished.
Yeah.
Double OT. Jokic had a 61-point triple-double.
Of course he did.
And the T-Wolves got a three-pointer at the buzzer that missed. They reviewed it. They called a foul on Russell Westbrook, and they gave the T-Wolves three free throws to win the game.
Why aren't we talking about maybe the Nuggets and Jokic winning again? You know, and it's funny, Jokic came here, and I think he's the one that put the battery in Knicks fans' backs at first because he was like, they're a top five team, they're a contender to win it all. And when Jokic said it, everyone's like, see? And I'm like, I don't know. Jokic has some of these nights and these games, and he has done it before where it's like, if he's on one the next couple of months, I would take him over the Houston Rockets, the Oklahoma City Thunder. I guess we're going to look at Luka and LeBron and the Lakers. Steph balled out tonight with the Warriors. The West is going to have some good matchups.
Bro, the West is going to be absurd. And the East, I'll be stunned if it's... And look, you know me. I'm a diehard Knicks fan. They're just going to get brushed aside by Boston in the second round.
Yeah.
It's going to be Boston, Cleveland in the Eastern Finals.
All roads lead to exactly what you just said.
It feels like it's going to be the chalkiest Eastern Conference playoffs ever. But the West, bro, feels like it is wide open.
Stay healthy. They just got to stay healthy across the board, because that's always what changes things, right? You know, Tatum went down with the ankle a couple, was it last week? It was last week, and people immediately were like, oh, I'm like, he'll be fine. Even Brunson went down with the ankle now weeks ago. He'll be fine. He's coming back. But unfortunate injury this close to the playoffs to a star player, to a main player, could like really change someone's fate. 888-808-1019. Speaking of an injury changing someone's fate, I do want to talk about the Jets and how the Jets offered buyouts to 170 employees in search of culture change. They are really trying to figure stuff out after Aaron Rodgers had the Achilles heel injury and then came back, and they weren't able to really do anything with him. Nick is in Huntington, New York on the Fan. Nick, you got it.
Hey, Keith, what's going on? About the Rodgers thing, he hasn't signed with anybody. Nobody's got him. The Jets did a culture change. They got rid of him. I know Mongo wanted him to go to the Giants and whatever, but and we know he's a Hall of Famer and whatever, but to me, the culture with the Jets, he ruined everything. It was more about Rodgers, and I told Mongo that. He's more about the back of the jersey than the front of the jersey. And look, he hasn't had a job. He's not with the Steelers. He's not with anybody. Where is he going to play? Who knows? He does whatever he wants. He plays his own tunes, you know what I mean, about Rodgers. So, that's how I feel about him. As far as Aaron Judge,
I think it's a lock that he's going to Pittsburgh. If he's throwing with DK Metcalf, why are you throwing with DK Metcalf? I saw Dan Orlovsky talking about it today too. He's like, the Rooney family, Tomlin, like what? Rodgers is going to sign with Pittsburgh.
Okay, all right. As far as Judge, is hands down, he's the best player in baseball. It's not even close.
Correct.
And the Yankees hitting all the home runs over the weekend. That's the Yankees. That's what they do. Who would be surprised? Bats, torpedo bats, missile bats. It doesn't matter. That's what the Yankees do. They mash. They always
mash. The Bronx Bombers. I thought it was the ballpark. Exactly. It was the ballpark until they saw the picture of these bats.
And the wind was whipping.
All right. It was windy. I was up there. Yep.
All right. And now, all right, Cowboys. Here we go. Why is Micah not signed?
Because Jerry Jones is an idiot. Jerry Jones just...
What is he doing?
Bro, I'm done.
How could you not stop? Micah says all the right things, and he doesn't sign it. Didn't he learn from CD and Dak last year?
No, he's never going to learn. He's never going to learn.
He doesn't learn. All right, who do you want in the draft? Do you think Gentry falls?
I don't care. Multiple people have asked me. I just was at the game Saturday. A couple Dallas Cowboys fans, who should they draft? I'm like, I don't know, bro. Zach Martin just retired. Draft the best interior offensive lineman, but I'm out on him until Jerry Jones resigns. I can't wash the stench of the Dallas Cowboys off me. I was a young kid. I had no guidance. I just was watching the TV. But like, he just disrespected David Mulugeta. This guy is Micah Parsons' agent, but he represents so many different players, and I know for a fact he's CJ Stroud's agent, somebody else's agent, and he disrespected this guy, saying, I don't know the agent's name. You should know the agent's name. He did Jordan Love's deal. This guy has so many clients, and Jerry Jones just disrespected this man. And Micah came out to be like, nah, I got the best in the business. Don't disrespect him.
Keith, look at all the reclamation projects they signed in free agency. They're all reclamation projects.
That's what they do.
They signed a guy from what? Who did they sign? They didn't sign nobody.
They signed UFL players. They signed Eric Kendricks last year. Like,
what is he doing? Why can't they? They're supposed to be the Yankees of the NFL.
No,
why
do they? They're a joke. They're a joke. And there's a reason why they haven't won anything. Thanks for the call, Nick. You're making me upset. I don't want to talk about this. I can't shake it. I wish it never happened. If I could go back to the future, I wouldn't have put that star on me. You ain't seen a star on me. I didn't put a Dallas Cowboys jersey on this entire season. I told you they were cooked. But anyway, Micah Parsons, right? Clarence Hill Jr. He said Jerry Jones with blatant disrespect to Micah Parsons' agent, David Mulugeta. The agent is not a concern here, says Jerry Jones. I don't know his name. And then Clarence Hill says, this is one of the best and most respected agents in the NFL. Parson is wise to have hired him. So then Micah Parsons goes on Twitter at 2:19 p.m. yesterday and says, facts, David is the best, and I will not be doing any deal without him involved. Like anyone with good sense, I hired experts for a reason. There is no one I trust more when it comes to negotiating contracts than David. There will be no back doors in this contract negotiation. So Jerry Jones had Micah Parsons drinking the Dallas Cowboys Kool-Aid when he was at Penn State, right? There was a video that I watched of him at Penn State wishing to go to the Dallas Cowboys. He should have been a Giant. You guys know what happened. Devontae Smith, how that whole thing shook out. He fell into the Cowboys' laps. He even said he doesn't need to be the highest paid defensive player. But, like, Jerry Jones is so old and senile and slow. He let Max Crosby go out there and get paid. And then, I don't even want to talk about this. Myles Garrett goes and gets paid. It's like, so the price for Micah Parsons just kept going up. And now you disrespected his agent. Yesterday's price is not today's price. You don't have this money. You're already in cap hell because of how much money you gave Dak Prescott. Like, literally the morning of week one. And then you dragged your feet with CeeDee Lamb. You disrespected CeeDee Lamb. It's just stupid. It's like, when will they learn? And I guess because Jerry Jones is literally made out of money, he doesn't mind lighting money on fire, but it stops you from building out your roster. It's a salary-capped league. You're going to be weak in other places. So, yeah, I'm out on them. They'll probably do something stupid. Like, if Ashton Jeanty is there, they'll probably draft a running back again. I don't think Jeanty's going to be there when the Cowboys pick. There's a lot of smoke around him. I was seeing the Spy Tech, the GM from the Raiders, saying that his son's been very vocal about, like, you guys need to draft this guy. Maybe they will, maybe they won't.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
One, it does not matter about Brian Daboll not going to see Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter's pro day at all. Brian Daboll said Tuesday at the NFL annual meeting, I usually don't attend pro days. They have scouts for that. He's the head coach. They're at those meetings right now. And you know what? If there are two players that they have been looking at all year and don't need to look at anymore to make a decision on, it's those two guys. Because the GM has made multiple trips. The assistant GM has made multiple trips to Colorado. I think they should draft Travis Hunter. Maybe they draft Shedeur, but they don't need to go to a pro day. It's fake football. It's not real football. A lot gets made about these pro days. They're in shorts and shirts. The NFL is played in helmets and shoulder pads. Anyway, with the Jets offer 170 employees buyouts in search of a culture change. After Woody Johnson gets an F and he calls it bogus, which it ain't bogus, like, That was your grade, given by people that were in your organization. But the employees have until Monday, the end of the Jets and the NFL's fiscal year, to accept or forgo the offer. 170 out of 250 staffers were offered buyouts in an effort to change the culture. Now, like, it sounds like they're trying to get rid of people, obviously, to, like, you know, start fresh, start anew. But the way they said it's something that we thought was consistent with changing the culture, giving everybody a chance to go in a different direction if they wanted to seek other opportunities, but also to move the whole organization forward in maybe a new and slightly different way, Woody Johnson said. He pointed to the changes inside the team this offseason. Yada, yada, yada. He says, we're in a major transition in terms of culture and the way we do things. we haven't really made major changes in the organization itself. So, like, Woody Johnson is saying, like, it's not just me that's a loser. It's not just the player. The players on the field that are losers. It's losers at every turn in this place. We'll buy some of you out. Like, what? The exercise has identified opportunities to operate, align, and innovate more effectively. As we position ourselves for this future growth, we felt it was essential to provide our employees with the opportunity to make an informed, autonomous decision about their careers given the direction of the company. The Jets are in a 14-year playoff drought. They are trying to end that, and they are trying to get probably younger and better and, you know, people that are complacent and that are sitting there like, hey, we'll buy you out if you don't want to be here. So those are two things that I had to share on the Jets and the Giants. Other than that, let's get back to the phones. We're still talking baseball, of course, because these baseball games start and baseball is hot in the city and across the country. And the Mets and the Yankees lost last night, but they have the opportunity to bounce back. The Yankees with their first loss, and the Mets going to another rubber match. Robbie is out on Staten Island. Next up on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, what's going on?
Hosting the show. Thanks for calling in.
Of course, man. Listen, I just want to say I'm so happy that baseball's back. Been so looking forward to it ever since Game 5 of the World Series. I just want to say these torpedo bats that everyone's complaining about, I think it's a little ridiculous. I feel like everyone has access to that type of technology, and everyone's just making a big stink about it. That's my take on it.
Yeah, also it's easy. It's easy to be like, oh, they're cheating. Oh, it's so stupid. I'm ready for people to get over it. I'm ready for the torpedo bat phrase to just exit.
So we're 3-1 in the torpedo bat era. So until we fall below 500, that's when it's not going to be a big thing about it, which I pray they don't. But just one more thing. I think that losing Soto for the Yankees was the best thing that could have happened to us, because without Soto going, there's no Fried, no Goldschmidt, no Bellinger. And the prospects that we have, Rice, Dominguez, maybe Pereira, don't get their fair shot in Major League because of the contract situation. That's just my take on it. I want to know your take.
Thanks for the call, Robbie. I will not say that that's the best thing that could happen to the Yankees, because that guy finished third in MVP voting. He's arguably a top five player in the game, and they got back to the World Series with Juan Soto. If they don't get back to a World Series, like, you can't. I can't do that. I can't. Now, is it a silver lining? Is there a bright side? Is there, again, like, everything happens for a reason. The universe unconnects. Like, yes, there was a pivot where you didn't get Juan Soto and you actually got what you needed. You can't always get what you want, but if you find sometimes, you might find you get what you need. Or if you try sometimes, you might find you get what you need. Like, they went out and actually did make the lineup deeper, add an ace when they were, you know, bound to lose one. But, like, you need good players. You need good hitters. And Soto is ridiculous. Soto always has a good at-bat. He's going to post. And what we saw with the tandem of him and Judge, like, I can't. And I've heard multiple callers and people say it's the best thing that could have happened to us. No, the best thing that could have happened to us was sign Soto and still go get all those guys. 888-808-1019. Dave is in Brooklyn, New York. Next up on the Fan. What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's going on? Listen, I have to put Malachi Moore on blast. I mean, this guy stunk it up behind the plate so badly tonight. It's just amazing that this is what passes for a professional major league umpire. And you know what? I just want to say this about Aaron Boone. I mean, I bet you if there was a way to calculate the instincts of a manager and how well those instincts play out on any given day, I bet you Aaron Boone would score very, very low on that. I mean, tonight, like, I just had a feeling. I said to myself, okay, Leiter, he got this one guy out. You know, he got, what did he get, two outs? I said to myself, I just don't feel it. I said, what are the odds that Ottavino's first appearance back is going to be a disaster? I said, just put the experienced guy in. Put the 39-year-old guy in. I just had a feeling. And I like my cousin, for example, is the biggest Yankee fan. I am 100% convinced that my cousin, who's never worked in baseball in his life, could manage the Yankees better than Aaron Boone. I'm 100% convinced of that.
Yeah, but this wasn't on Ottavino. This was on Leiter Jr. and Tim Hill.
Right, but I'm saying at that point, didn't if you were watching the game, right, didn't you just tell yourself, or didn't you think I did? I just looked at Leiter and I said, nah, he's not going to get us out of this.
Yeah,
he's not going to get us out of
what I felt was when, because Tim Hill has been so solid, when they quickly had the hook on him, I'm like, where are you going next? And when you're going to Leiter Jr., it made me think, oh, okay, they had a pregame meeting without Devin Williams, you know, how they set up their lanes and what they're going to do. And if I go back to the box score, I think it was Randall Grichuk, and I forget who they were facing, righty-lefty, but I could tell what they were doing, and I'm like, I don't trust Leiter to get this done. And what it was the walks. If you're coming out of bullpen and you're walking guys, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Devin Williams, Luke Weaver, that's a recipe for disaster. And Cruz was so good. Cruz was good, and Grisham made that catch where it looked like, you know, Cruz almost gave up a home run. Cruz was so good. So then Tim Hill comes in.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Grichuk double. Then Perdomo singles. Grichuk scores. Corbin Carroll grounds into a force out. And then they make the pitching change. They bring in Mark Leiter Jr. with inherited runners, and he walks Marte, he walks Pavin, and then you're in trouble now. Now your lead is down to one, and bases are loaded for the National League Player of the Week, and you don't make your pitch.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, just on a broader level, I really have to question the instincts of Steinbrenner. I don't know how Steinbrenner doesn't see that Boone's just not the guy. He's just not. He just doesn't belong as a field manager. I'm sorry. I mean, maybe he belongs in a general manager scenario, but he just doesn't have the instincts to manage a game. I just don't believe he does.
Thanks for the call, Dave. He does have the instincts, but when he makes mistakes, it's louder than the good things that he does. And he just got an extension. I told you guys he's not going anywhere because the players love him. Not just like him. They love him. The captain of the team loves him. These players play for him. Like, Boone is a player's coach, a player's manager. On Saturday, when I saw the lineup and I saw Yankee Twitter, oh my God, what a Boone lineup. What the hell is this lineup? And then they went out and had a historic day. I didn't say a word. I knew not to say anything in the second game of the season after an off day. Boone doesn't get credit for that. Boone doesn't get credit for anything good. But as soon as something like this happens tonight, which I can't even put this on Boone. What I said earlier is you make decisions and guys don't make pitches, it doesn't work out. But like, how can you put this on Boone when he was missing his closer? It's a trickle-down effect. Let's go to Saul out in Queens on the Fan. What up, man?
Thank you. Big fan.
How's it going?
Good. So I want to go to Yankee Stadium soon. You know, like, baseball is like the only place where, like, wherever you sit, you feel like you got a good seat, unlike other sports. So I really want to go to the bleacher features. You think it's a good spot to go for, like, a young kid, 16 years old?
You're 16 and you're going to go sit in the bleachers? Yeah.
Yeah, I think I can do it. Seems like a bit crazy, but I want to do it.
Yeah, but like, what I'll say about the bleachers is it's not crazy as it used to be. You're underage, so you're not going to be drinking in there. You're going to be in the heartbeat of the stadium. You're going to be surrounded by, like, real fans that are talking the whole game, that are into the whole game, that are talking to each other, strangers talking to each other, interacting. The creatures will do the roll call. You join in on that, and then the creatures have their chance that they do all through the game, and it's just a vibe. It's just a welcoming energy, and if you're there by yourself, like, that's how I even got down with the creatures. I just started to go to games by myself and gravitating towards the section. And then you start to notice, like, oh, these are some of the same people. You start to notice a reoccurring theme that, like, this isn't random. Like, there's a group of, like, the same 30 people here every single game. And, you know, if you get in with the creatures when you're 16, you know, I think it's a good way to go. The section has become so popular. It's not like it was where it was, like, drunk hooligans or whatever, how they tried to paint the picture, you know, years ago. It's a more of a family vibe, more of a young vibe. I think if you're going to a game by yourself and you're 16, you sit in the bleachers. Even if you sit there quietly, there's going to be some entertainment in the bleachers outside of just the game.
So, like, which section do you think, like, specifically, do you think is a great spot?
Well, the when I talk about the bleachers and the bleacher creatures, it's section 203. Not 204 to the left if you're looking at the field. Not 202 to the right if you're looking at the field. I almost never go to the left field bleachers because that is the Bronx Zoo. That is a circus over there. There is no consistency over there. That is anyone and anything and shenanigans and hella security. Shout out to the Terror Squad who are adjacent to the left field bleachers. But yeah, when I'm talking about the bleacher creatures, the actual people that have been there from the old stadium to the new stadium, the reoccurring theme, the roll call, that is section 203.
I'm trying to think of another Yankee point.
You got it. Go for it.
Yeah, I love the rookies, Jason and Ben Rice, batting next to each other. But I wonder if you like push them up in the lineup for 8 and 9 and then have like Goldschmidt backing them up. Because these guys look like you could get on base and hit like double.
Push them up in the lineup and have Goldschmidt behind them? Say that again. What's your thought?
Because I want to push them up maybe to 8 and 9, and Goldschmidt's going to be batting first, right, in the lineup.
Well, Cabrera was batting tonight. So you're saying push them down and have Dominguez, 8, Rice, and have Cabrera bat 7th?
Like 7th, yeah.
Well, they're going righty-lefty. I wouldn't want... Cabrera's there for speed. Cabrera's there. He's not as good of a hitter as Rice and Dominguez. I don't got any problems with it. The bottom part of the order, those guys were getting it done today. When you look at the top part of the order, you see zeros and strikeouts. Like, Jazz struck out 4 times tonight. Talk about Malachi Moore. He was in Malachi Moore's face. He was telling Malachi Moore something. He had a bad one tonight. Judgy, as great as he is, you know, had his 0.8 war or whatever. He had 2 strikeouts, was 0 for 4 today. I think the lineup is fine how it is. They didn't get it done tonight. They can get it done against Zach Gallen coming up. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. We got a break here, my last break of the night. Mongo is coming up next. I forget what caller was calling him Mongo. And I'm looking at Pat. I'm like, who the hell is Mongo? I'm like, he's talking about Chris McMonagle.
I forget what caller that was, but yeah, he kept calling. I thought he was saying Monzo, like Brian Monzo. We used to work it years ago.
Shout out to Monzo. He's like a Mongo. I was telling Mongo. I know Mongo wanted Aaron Rodgers. It was the caller that called about Aaron Rodgers. It was Dave. I think I'm like, he's talking about Chris McMonagle. Better than McGonagle. Yeah, C-Max coming up next. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. Let's go to Josh in the Bronx.
It's awesome, baby. It's awesome. But listen, I don't mean to change the subject on you, but regarding the Pittsburgh Steelers, when they traded Kenny Pickett away to Philadelphia, and then they lost Justin Fields and Wilson, right, to the New York team, the New York football teams, right? And they want to get Aaron Rodgers. That, you know, now they're going to have to trade up in the draft and get a quarterback. You know?
Yeah, I think they definitely get Rodgers. I think they might try to trade up and get Shador if he drops.
Yeah. That's a big mistake, Keith. I don't know, Keith, but with the Yankees and everything, people, it was only the 1st of April, and now it's April 2nd. We got a long way to go. You know, Booney is going to change that lineup up, man. It's only regular season, so you get to the postseason. It's awesome, baby. Thank you, Keith.
Dick Vitale's cousin, Josh from the Bronx. Yeah, Pittsburgh picks at 21. Maybe they can trade up and get a Jackson Dart. But I think that with the team that they have, with the talent that they have, in the division that they're in, they're trying to get Aaron Rodgers because, you know, in Pittsburgh, people were calling for Mike Tomlin's head. It's not Mike Tomlin. Like, he's the glue. He keeps them together. They haven't had good enough quarterback play. And here, you know, the Jets take Justin Fields. The Giants take Russell Wilson. I don't know how far those guys are going to get him. We shall see. And, yes, it's early in the baseball season. We can reiterate it until it is not. Until it starts getting late early. Luke in Long Beach on the Fan. What's up, Luke?
Yo, Luke, or yo, Keith, appreciate what you do with the program, man. I just wanted to ask you, with the long season ahead and how important hitting is throughout a long season. You see teams like the Dodgers who can hit for power, hit for average. Do you think the Yankees have too much swing and miss in their lineup and should really focus on trading for someone like Arise to really get the lineup going and just mix it up a little bit with not so much a power approach? Because you usually have a shortstop hitting for contact, and Volpe kind of seems to be like a power hitter. What do you think?
No. It's so early, man. They just broke the record. 18 homers in four games. I feel like I'm not wanting for anything. They have multiple guys hitting over 250, guys hitting over 300, Judge hitting 400. Like, no, I don't think they need to change their approach. They're playing in their ballpark. They haven't hit the road yet. They've been hitting the ball out of the park at a historic rate, literally. I think they're good. Thanks for the call, Luke. Last call of the night goes to Eli with a story to tell from Tom's River.
How you doing, Keith?
Good, man. Go for it. You got about a minute left.
All right. I've been to around 10, 15 Yankee games, and leaving the stadium tonight was a surreal moment catching my first foul ball at a game. Off Aaron Judge's bat, no less.
What section were you in?
114.
Mm-hmm. I know it. Go on.
And just the feeling, I know it's 1 in 1,000, and I know that's why it never happened to me before, but just the feeling of catching it, and just like I was in a daze for like the next two innings, and, you know, even though they lost, it was a fun car ride home.
It's a rush. I've done it before. I've caught home runs. I've thrown them back. I've caught foul balls. It's a rush. What I'll say is keep that ball. And then one day when you meet Aaron Judge, you have Judge sign it. Keep the ball. Take a piece of paper, write the day, the date, the game, the inning, like that specifics on it. Keep that ball, and then you'll meet Judge at an autograph signing. You'll meet Judge somewhere, and he'll sign it. It'll make it that much better.
Yep. One more point, if I may.
You got it. I haven't heard the back music yet.
Even though it was our first loss of the season tonight, I just like that we didn't go out. You know, it was a two-run loss, and it was – I haven't seen the resilience yet. I know it will come, but I don't know. I got a special feeling about this team, especially coming off the World Series last year, and just optimistic feelings, positive vibes going forward, and hopefully we can do big stuff this year. Looking forward.
Yeah, good point. I think that's a good way to end it. You're going to lose games. It's baseball. But you take the positives with the negatives. There were a lot of positives in this game. I started off talking about the Yankee youngsters and how Dominguez homered and Volpe homered and Ben Rice homered and how the bottom of the order was getting it done. And you got a good look at, you know, Fernando Cruz tonight and his splitter. And you felt good about Will Warren, another young guy, champing it out, right? The will to Warren, I said. TW. I used to say the will to win, the will to Warren. Like, he willed himself through those five innings against Corbin Burns. He went deeper in the game than Corbin Burns. The bullpen is going to blow it. That's baseball. And the Yankees' bullpen is usually pretty good. On April Fool's Day, they fooled us, though. They had the lead, and they blew it. Adam Ottavino pitched. The day they signed him, Adam Ottavino. Yankee fan today, tomorrow, forever, Adam Ottavino end up pitching. And, you know, they lost the game. They got. But they come back, and they fight another game, and maybe it humbled them. You know, maybe they needed to be humbled. Maybe they didn't need to start 4-0 with the torpedo bats and all the hype around Judge. And, you know, Judge got humbled. I don't know, bet Judge to homer tomorrow. Jazz having 4 strikeouts. There's been a lot of talk around Jazz. Jazz got to lock in. He got to refocus. So baseball is back. It's good to have baseball back. It's about to get really good as we have more games and more series. And then the NFL draft later this month and the NBA playoffs and the Stanley Cup playoffs. And then it's the sports equinox again. And we'll have everything on the table. And these shows at night, these little three-hour shows that I do, that C-Mac does, they're going to go flying by quickly. You know, you guys make the show, you guys call in, and then we sprinkle in topics and we pass the time. Back to America's pastime. I'm about to be past my time. C-Mac's coming up right now. I'm out of here. Good night.